Hi, I'm Lena.
And I'm Aman.
And this is Grounded Geeks,
where we make the geek world relevant.
All right.
All right.
We are talking about a show that we've talked about already, but we're talking about different episodes because it's an anthology series and each episode is different. So we're going into part two of Love, Death, and Robots.
Yes. And this time, so last time we talked about a set of three episodes discussing the future of AI and
robots taking over.
And robots taking over. Yes, I was going to say the end of humankind because of robots taking over.
Right.
This time, the episodes that we've picked really come down to what does it mean for human body and genetic modification?
Yes. You know,
and the future of it. There's obviously a lot of ethical concerns around, you know, gene editing, modifying the body, not to make up for a disability, but to, you know, for a perfectly healthy person to get some kind of body modification, you know, to improve their things. I think there's a lot of ethical questions around that, but fundamentally,
like it's basically putting yourself at an advantage to the, most other people then, like
to anybody who can't get a modification of some kind. I mean, you know, you look at the whole Captain America super soldier thing. Mm-hmm. What if everybody could get the super soldier serum, you know, and things like that. But in Love, Death, and Robots, there's these three episodes that really, I don't know, I feel like they delved more into it. In a sense, if you think about it, ethical questions aside, humanity will have to, and almost inevitably will, not in our lifetimes, probably, not even in our children's or grandchildren's lifetimes necessarily, but we will have to, and we probably will, take even further control of our own biological evolution. And these three episodes of Love, Death, and Robots, I think, really explore the question of what does that mean? You know, what does it mean for us to take control of our future and our own future evolution?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So which episode do you want to talk about first?
I think the first episode we got to talk about is Pop Squad. Mm-hmm. Pop Squad, which really gets into what does it mean to live forever? You know, what does it mean for society to live forever? So, Lena, do you want to give a quick synopsis of, or a quick description of what this episode is about?
Yeah. So in Pop Squad, essentially the world society has found a way for everyone to live forever. And they basically go in for treatments or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
And it's like injected into their arms, I think, right?
Like
it's
just
some sort of forever serum type thing. But they do get like regular treatments, right? To maintain the whole living forever. It's not like a one and done deal. So they go in for it. And because everyone is living forever.
And youthfully, not and just youthfully, living forever, but
staying like
in their primes.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So because of that, then that means you don't need people to be procreating and reproducing and having children. So it's become this weird thing where very, very rich people keep getting these treatments to live forever. And people who can't afford it, they are kind of like they've been driven underground and they are still choosing to have children or, you know, they just have children. And this is the horrifying part. There's now like police squads that go after these people and they just kill them.
Kill children.
They kill children. Do they kill just the children or the adults too? I forget.
They arrest the adults and they kill the children.
Yeah. So messed up.
Because it is messed up, but it also, the thing that really struck me is that it logically makes sense.
Yeah.
If we are on this planet and we haven't colonized other planets, then to prevent overpopulation, you can't continue to increase the size of the population, especially if people are living forever. Mm-hmm. People aren't making room for children. And right. by making room, I mean dying.
You know?
So in a sense, it's a logical outgrowth of what it means for a society that is planet locked to live forever.
Yeah. I bet it must just change your entire world view, right?
Yeah.
Because you're not thinking about the future as in future generations. You're just thinking of yourself then all the time. And you're like, well, this is what I want, you know, and this is, what am I going to, you know, it's very self-centered. I think the society would probably just become very self-centered.
And I actually think they showed that actually, they showed that in this very short episode, which was very like beautiful art, you know, I mean, very hyper-realistically CGI, you know, it was almost like watching real people, which gives it a more creepy factor, actually, I thought, which was very appropriate for this episode, where you got that sense that everybody was happy, but society was stagnant. Things stayed the same.
Yeah. You know,
things didn't change. And I think actually they did a really good job of showing that. I got that feeling. I don't know if you did while watching that episode, but I very much got the feeling that this was a society that is static, that doesn't change, that doesn't move forward. They have reached what they view as the pinnacle of what they can achieve. And that's it. They're and happy. They're done.
Right. They've become complacent. There's no sort of innovation. There's no anything. I think there's almost like, you know, sure, living in your prime forever, like, great, ultimate goal achieved, whatever. But then it's like there's nothing to look forward to anymore. There's nothing to strive for.
Yeah.
And then everyone's just kind of dead inside. I mean, this is the sense I got. I'm like, they must just be kind of dead inside. And they're just kind of going through the motions.
But, you know, I have to say, this episode also, I thought, did an amazing job of making a case for why people would want to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the main character who is, you know, a member of this police force finally confronts this woman who has a baby, and he asks her, like, why would you even choose this?
Yeah, you know, like why would you want to have a child? Yeah.
Why would you even want to have a child? And she said, I'm now 200 some years old. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've seen what I've seen, and that's it. And having a kid has let me see what it is to look at things anew. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But that was, I thought, the most compelling argument that I've heard about having kids.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought it was just brilliant and beautifully done. And I think that, you know, there is actually relatively recently, geneticists identified the gene that does control aging.
That's crazy.
We die. Human beings, at least, die because we have a gene that prevents our cells from replicating perfectly every single time. All right. Crazy. There are actually animals out there who do not die of old age.
Yeah.
All right. Like lobsters.
Okay. I was going to say like turtles. Sharks, certain types of sharks, maybe.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure certain I types of sharks, are, yeah. but the, at least the ones that I know for a fact, lobsters, don't ever die of old age. They die of disease. They die because they're captured. But if they stay healthy, they can just keep growing forever.
That's crazy. Right?
Mm-hmm. And turtles.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yep. At least certain kinds of turtles. They'll get fungal infections. They'll get diseases, et cetera, et cetera. But you can take a 100-year-old tortoise. All right. Yeah. Do an autopsy on a 100-year-old tortoise. and all of its internal organs will be exactly the same as a tortoise who has just exited puberty.
It's like that elves in Lord of the Rings.
Yes, except that the elves in Lord of the Rings don't die of disease either.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that was their whole thing.
That's true. They don't die of disease either.
Yeah. So tortoises and lobsters, there's plenty of things that will kill them, including humans, mm-hmm. but old age is not one of them. So the gene exists. The gene exists in most mammals and humans, mm-hmm. but, you know, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It is controlled at the genetic level. Yeah. And with this new CRISPR technology, theoretically, we could edit that gene out.
Yeah.
And live in perpetuity. This society in this episode, Pop Squad, mm-hmm. is not actually that far out of reach. The main barrier to it is ethics and morality.
Yeah. The whole idea of living forever really freaks me out. Like, I don't want to stay here forever. It's going awfully. We're in a pandemic. Like, this is garbage. Like,
global warming? Yeah. People suck.
Wildfires, floods, supply chain disruptions. This is awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, ironically, we are also living in the most peaceful time in
history. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, like, when I'm seeing headlines about, like, the QAnon shaman dude or whatever, I'm just like, what is this? Why are we here? Why?
Definitely an argument for why people should not live forever.
Should not, right? Like it's too much. It's too much. Oh,
it's
God.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's, I agree. It's too much. But yeah, so that covers eternal life. Mm-hmm. And what's the next episode we want to cover, Lena? I think ice.
I was going to say ice. Yeah.
Yeah. So ice, basically, it's interesting because it's actually a very laser-focused story.
Yeah.
It's a story about not a society at large, but about two brothers, mm-hmm. all right, who have just moved to this weird-ass ice planet and are trying to fit in.
Right.
And one of the brothers has been enhanced. And the modified. Other one has not
mm-hmm.
modified, as they call it.
I think it's the younger brother who's been modified, right? And like the older brother, like maybe it wasn't available when he was younger. I don't know.
Yeah, they didn't really get into it, but that wasn't the point of this. I mean, these are very short episodes, you know?
Yeah.
But all you need to know is that one of the brothers was modified, the other one wasn't. And on this planet, just about everybody has been modded. You know, to be physically stronger, faster, which makes sense because they're on this very, very unforgiving ice planet, you know?
One of the main modifications that they have is that they don't feel cold or something, right?
Yeah. They don't say it explicitly in the episode, but they show it.
Yeah. Like the older brother, he's wearing a jacket and he's freezing and the others are not wearing even jackets. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And in there right off the get-go on this episode, you know, the parents are like, oh, have you made any friends yet? And the younger brother's like, yeah, I've met some people. They're cool. But the older brother, he hasn't really met anybody. Yeah. And it's like, well, yeah, obviously he's the only one who isn't modded on this entire planet.
Yeah.
You know, and they get into that. So, Lena, what did you take away from this in a world where human bodies can be enhanced? For primarily, let's say, environmental reasons, you know, to survive harsher environments. What did you take away from this?
I mean, I think it would just lead to even more, it would create a whole different type of class division in society, which we already have that socioeconomic class and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
racial wise or whatever, you know, like we already know, for example, that men are at an advantage, you know, in over women in society currently, right? So and
down with
generally patriarchy. Yes, and generally white people are too over people of color, especially black people. So it's just it's like another division we're creating. There's going to be modded people and not modded people, and I like it's just Like, not only in the sense, like in this episode, they talk about how it's harder for this kid to make friends. Like, he's just seen differently. Like, and he's, that's how, like, that, those are the problems that's causing in his life right now. But there's probably going to be things like not modded people would miss out on job opportunities and would be sort of only relegated to certain types of jobs that no one else wants to do. And I don't know, things like that.
But you know, what I thought was interesting in this particular episode was that most of the people there seem to have been modded, and it didn't give them a better social status. It didn't seem to be tied to their wealth. These seem like very middle class average kids, in a sense.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
You know, like average for the society that they lived in. It seems like their parents, you know, worked like essentially oil rigs or whatever it is on that planet. But they didn't really get into that. But I thought one of the fundamental things that this episode actually put in, that the message that I took away from this episode, was actually interesting. I think the same way as you, that like once human body enhancements start to become a thing, that would lead to another kind of class division in society. Mm-hmm. But what I took away from this episode was actually interesting. And it was that no matter what the division is, it's the same as what it's always been. You know, mm-hmm. kids will, I think it was one of our cousins who said this to me a long time ago. If you get three people who find something in common, mm-hmm. they will use that as a way to exclude others from their group, that this is human nature. Mm-hmm. All right. So it doesn't matter what the thing is that you're using to exclude others, but it seemed like even in this crazy world, it seemed like they were almost saying that human nature is human nature, because this kid, this older brother still ends up getting accepted by this group because he did something of total badassery by the end of the episode and earned the respect of his peers.
That's like, true.
They still know he can't run as fast as them. They know he still needs to wear a jacket because it's too damn cold. Mm-hmm. And they know he's not as strong or as flexible or whatever. Right. Like, some of these kids were doing pretty crazy, you know, pretty crazy parkour type stuff.
Yeah.
You know, which is definitely not possible in a regular human body.
Yeah.
But he did something so badass that they still accepted him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought that was an interesting turn on the head of what you and I would assume a society like that would bring about.
And I think that, like, in this episode, it seems like clearly, obviously, just looking at these two brothers, there are still people who aren't modded, and then there are people who are. So it's sort of like this transitionary type of thing. But I wonder if later on, many, many years later, once everyone's modded, it is kind of leveling the playing field in a bit, but then going back to other types of divisions and hierarchies, I'm sure, you know?
And I'm sure. But I feel like a lot of these mods that happen in this society, in this episode of ICE, it seemed like it's purely for industrial purposes.
Yeah.
In the sense that you have people who are getting modded so that they can do these dirty jobs, basically, that nobody else wants to do, which makes me wonder if this episode were expanded upon, you know, if we would actually have a society where people who are unmodded are higher up.
Oh, because it's like, society. I don't need to be modded, you know, like, I don't need to do that kind of labor, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, when you think about it, people right now who do more manual labor jobs, clearly they are stronger, right? Than us, like me, for example, who
desk
just
jobs.
Sits at a desk like 8 hours a day and types at my computer. And I like, don't know how to do anything, you know, like nothing like that would actually help me in a post-apocalyptic world, you know, like, and that's so true. I, you know, like maybe that could also be one outcome as well, where it's just very similar right now. Like, manual work is, I would say, generally kind of looked down upon. but sort of, I don't know, but also admired. I don't know. It's a weird thing, depending on who you talk to and whatever. But but yeah, it is. I mean, like, generally people want the office jobs because it pays more.
So it made me think of standards of beauty in European society through the ages. Mm-hmm. All right. Pre-industrial revolution. All right. If you look at portraitures of what were beautiful women, you know, sometimes they were always bigger women.
Yeah.
All right. Because that was also a sign of wealth.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? You had food to eat.
You had food to eat.
Yeah.
Bigger women and also fairer skin.
Yeah.
Because it meant that A, you had more to eat because you were wealthier, and you didn't have to be out in the sun working out in the fields in agriculture. All right. Because you were wealthy enough to not do that.
Right.
You know,
right.
So you would have fairer skin. And that was considered the standard of beauty.
Right.
And then with the Industrial Revolution, things got turned on their head.
Yeah.
Okay. People who have more time and more wealth, and as a result, more leisure time, now had the time to exercise and blaze out in the sun and get a tan, as opposed to be stuck working in a factory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's so interesting. Very interesting parallel there.
And even today, you know, eating healthy, being able to afford a trainer, having the luxury to go lie on the beach, you know, these are all things that are luxuries of the wealthy. And these are also all things that are attached to standards of beauty. Mm-hmm. So bringing it back to this episode on ice, I can actually see how it might be perfectly plausible for this to be a society where people who are unmodded, okay, are unmodded because they're too wealthy to need to be modded.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. But it also then does that same interesting thing where you have this kid hanging out with these modded kids, all right? But he's kind of
he's still an outsider.
Yeah. He's still an outsider because he's still part of the same socioeconomic class, but different. Mm-hmm. And he's sort of marginalized simply because he's different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Which people like it when people fit in. As much as we talk about individuality and diversity and everything, at the end of the day, it's there are societal limits to that. You know, people are only willing to accept so much difference.
People still want to belong somewhere.
Yes.
They don't want to actually be alone all the time or stick out all the time, you know?
And so, and this might be stretching a little further than what's in the episode, but how do you belong? You belong by being able to exclude.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. God, humans are so messed up.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We are super messed up.
Awesome.
Well, and that's a struggle, right? Overcoming human nature. That's how we're going to improve and get better.
Yeah. On to the third episode. This one is called Zima Blue, which I was like, this is an interesting title. I have no idea what this is about. So this is,
I was just going to say that I feel like this one, we picked this one because it kind of takes the discussion that we've been having and flips it on its head.
Yeah. So in this one, you basically start off this woman, I assume she's some sort of reporter. She is narrating the whole episode and she's talking about how she has been invited to speak to Zima. Is his full name like Zima Blue? Is that what they, Zima.
His name, just Zima. The artist Zima.
He's an artist. Okay. And he's basically over the years, you know, he started first with making portraits of people, but he thought that was too basic. Then he started making huge murals of the universe and the galaxy, blah, blah, blah. But then in his murals, he started inserting these small squares and rectangles of like blue squares and blue rectangles.
Yeah, but a very, very particular shade of blue.
A very particular shade of blue. And then
it was called Zima Blue.
Yes, eventually it was called Zima Blue because with every next mural that he made, the shape would either be like a triangle or a circle or a rectangle, but that same shade of blue, Zima Blue. And it would just be bigger and bigger on each mural until one day he just unveiled a huge mural that was just all blue, that same shape. It was just a blue canvas. And then and then all his art installations just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then eventually he invited this reporter because he's like, I want you to help tell my story. So that also while he was making all this artwork over the years, he kept modifying his own body. And I think similarly making it stronger, faster, like different sorts of things for some reason.
Yeah.
And
I think the biggest explanation given by the reporter before she heard Zima's story was that so he could explore different parts of the universe. More directly.
Yeah. So, you know, basically he changed himself to the point where he didn't even need to breathe oxygen. And so then he could literally just go shoot himself off into space and
just walking through lava.
Barefoot. Yeah. Things like that.
Taking a swim in a lava river. Like literally they show scenes like that. Crazy.
Right.
Absolutely crazy.
And so then he invites her to his home and then he shows her the swimming pool. And he was like, this is where my story begins. And she was like, what? And so then he starts telling this story about this woman many, many years ago who she had a swimming pool just like this. And in fact,
it was that swimming pool.
It was that exact same swimming pool that he had transported to his home. But this woman, she built a robot to help clean her swimming pool. She was into robotics, all this stuff. But she kept making modifications to the robot, you know, giving it, basically turning it into some sort of AI. And eventually it could do things on its own and think on its own, et cetera. And she kept kind of modifying. Eventually the woman died and whoever the next owners of the robot were, they kept also modifying the robot so much. And then we learn that the robot is Zima.
Yes. Like,
so Zima is not even a human man at all. this guy, this artist Zima, actually started off as a pool cleaning robot.
Yeah. Just a little mechanical robot that just keeps going around and cleaning the pool. Yeah. And the tiles of the pool.
Yes. That was the shade of blue that he kept including in his murals because that was the first thing he ever saw. Those tiles.
And the manufacturer of those tiles called it Zima Blue.
Ah, yes, exactly.
Yeah. So he unveils his final exhibit. Mm-hmm. All right. Lena, and then do you want to tell our audience what happened?
Sure. So he invites all these people. He had become such a huge artist, celebrity, whatever. He had all these people come and watch. And he basically comes out on this whatever stage. And then he just jumps in the pool. And then he slowly just lets himself fall apart. And I don't even know how to describe it. How would you describe it?
I would describe it as he sheds all of the outer layers that he has accumulated over the years to give him this body until all that's left is his core, which is that pool cleaning robot in the center.
And he told a reporter all this beforehand. He's like, this is what I'm going to do. And I've decided, I've seen everything. I've made sense of all the universe and whatever. And it's basically brought me back to where I started. And now I'm going home.
Yeah.
Which he was so he poetic.
Said it was very poetic coming whole full circle. And really the way his story was described is that he's making these art pieces of art installations and everything. And roaming the galaxy to find the deeper meaning to life, the universe, everything, which, you know, if he had bothered to pick up a book, he'd know the answer is 42.
Oh my God. Okay.
but after going through all of that, he came to the conclusion that he is going to shed all of this, including the advanced AI that he has, and just leave enough awareness in himself to have a satisfaction of a job well done.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that was the big thing. He came around full circle looking for this deeper meaning and realized that really the time that he was happiest was when he had a job and he did that job well. Mm-hmm. And he got that sense of satisfaction from doing that job well.
Yeah.
The reason that
going back to the basics,
the reason I wanted to talk about this episode as even though this is a robot modifying himself, the reason I wanted to talk about it is because with eternal life, human body modifications, when you take that to the extreme, we would still probably end up as individuals, as a society, where Zima ended up,
yeah,
which is that he can endure anything. He can do anything. He can literally walk through the void of space on his own. All right. And still, ultimately, it didn't help him gain any deeper meaning in life. It didn't help him attain some sort of greater enlightenment than what he already had when he was first made.
You know? I mean, I just think that once you've modded yourself or, you know, given yourself eternal life or whatever it is, like to the extent where you've basically removed any sort of big obstacle or challenges from your life, what is there to look forward to strive for, to try and achieve, you know, like that's kind of part of life, right? Like the reason why, I don't know, now it was getting a little philosophical and religious and whatever you want to call it. But like, I think that's also why a lot of people that's how, you know, people think of there's injustice in the world. The injustice in the world is what helps create compassion in people. You know, and there's like a yin and a yang, and there's a balance to life. But when you get rid of completely, entirely one thing of it, I don't know, like it's just, it throws everything off balance and you lose your sense of meaning and purpose, I think, when you throw the balance off that much. Not saying we should not fight against injustices and suffering and all that, but you know, that is something we should constantly be trying to fight. But it's just like, I feel like all of these episodes, they just show what happens when too much is thrown off balance.
Right. I agree. And actually, for me, the reason I wanted to cover this Zima Blue episode last is because it really brought back the fundamental question where even though the advancement that we're covering in this episode is biological, at the end of the day, it is still a technological advancement. And what is the point of new technology if it is not offering some kind of add value?
Right.
You know, trains, cars, bicycles, they all get you from point A to point B faster. And that is an added value. Cell phones allow us to communicate with anyone, anywhere in the world. There is an added value there. All right. Yeah. Does eternal life, while that automatically does seem like, yes, who wouldn't want to live forever? It doesn't really, I'm not convinced that it does actually add value to us as human beings. And I think
besides fulfilling selfish goals, right?
But you know, any technological advancement, especially with these biological advancements, when it comes to the ethical questions, we really need to ask, I think, what is the value that it is adding? So longer life, a better quality of life while we're living, I can see the added value in that. Eternal life, though, is fundamentally a different question.
Yeah, I agree.
Human body modifications, you know, is it a fashion statement, you know? And is that really adding something of value or not? And that's the whole point, I think, of Zima Blue. You can keep doing all of these things, but fundamentally at the core of it, what is the true value and satisfaction that we get?
Yeah, I think, yeah, I think in any of, if any of these things were to happen in real life, we would just eventually, probably millennia later, you know, just come back full circle, like Zima.
Entirely possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come back full circle like Zima.
Yeah.
Good times. Well,
great.
Well then.
Okay then.
Have we blown everyone's minds yet?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we're awesome cool. like that. Just yep. blowing minds left and right.
All right. Any last thoughts, Aman?
No, I think you let me really spill my heart out on this topic.
I'm so glad. Yeah. Yeah. The whole ethics and morals behind it. Yeah, we could talk about this forever, right? And
it's a mind
still
fuck.
Never, yeah, it's still never reach a conclusion. But yeah.
Absolutely. It's a total mind fuck.
Yeah. But yeah, cool. Well, we'll probably do another Love, Death, and Robots episode because there's so many good episodes in this series.
Oh, so good.
There's plenty to talk about. So this won't be the last one. But as always, thanks for listening to Grounded Geeks.
And we'll catch you all next week.